Hello, everybody. Welcome to the second episode of LSESPN, where the two most unqualified sports analysts talk about sports. So I'm Dylan.
I'm Sachin.
Yeah, and today we'll be talking about new sports seasons that are starting all over the world. In England, you have the EPL. And over in the States, you have the NBA. So how have you felt about the EPL restart? Let's start off with that, Sachin.
I mean, first of all, I really like the timings because they're at night for me, which is great. I can watch all of them while eating dinner or something, which is great. But no, otherwise, as a Chelsea fan, I'm pretty disappointed, to be honest. And then I don't think Tuchel deserves to be sacked. Like, that was completely wrong. He's done nothing wrong, you know?
Since we're talking about Chelsea first, let's start off and talk about what has been going down in Stamford Bridge and in London itself. Do you think that Tuchel deserves more time? I mean, clearly, you've kind of spoiled your answer already, but you want to talk about that?
Yeah, definitely. I think he deserves more time. He doesn't have a striker this year. Like, we go out and we buy Raheem Sterling. Raheem Sterling's not a striker. And I think I was watching a couple of games. I don't remember who you were playing last, but the overwhelming impression I've got is, like, the Kai Havertz, Mason Mount, Raheem Sterling front line doesn't work because there's no physicality there. Sterling just gets bullied as a center forward. And Havertz isn't, he's pretty strong, but he's not an out-and-out center forward. He's not got the physicality. And so he's not got Werner's pace either. And then we're missing Romelu Lukaku's strength. And even though he didn't get many goals, he was still pretty good to have as a presence off the bench if you had him, or even for the first half. So I think it's not looking good. It's not looking good, to be honest. Koulibaly's been great, though. I really like Koulibaly. He's been good. He's been really good. Apart from the red card.
You know what team I am shocked by the results of, though? Yeah. I'm really shocked by how well Arsenal are doing this season.
I'm really liking them, actually. Yeah. I'm really liking them.
Yeah, they're playing extremely well. It looks like Mikel Arteta's process has, like, finally reached its conclusive stages, and they're playing really, really well.
No, man, I was going to put Jesus in my fantasy team, and then I forgot to make the team, and now I've just kind of procrastinated and I haven't made it still. But yeah, otherwise, I suspect he's gotten way too expensive now with the amount of goals and whatever he's been doing. Yeah. But they're really good.
Speaking of things that are expensive, we have Manchester City, who are, you know, they're doing the normal thing. I mean, they bought... They were never projected to do, you know, badly. So they've had a really strong start to the season as well. But yeah, if I'm being honest, I haven't been watching too much football because I'm a Manchester United fan. And well, we've been doing better than usual lately. I'm still kind of scarred by, like, the past, like, 5 seasons of Manchester United performances. So I haven't been watching too much football, but I am very happy that we have Martinez and we also signed Anthony. So fingers crossed, things will be better this season, but much like a toxic relationship, that's what you see at the start of every Manchester United manager's term. And it's always good at the start, but, you know, so I'm cautiously optimistic that we'll be back on track soon, hopefully.
So I get to say I told you so now, because all the good results and the turnaround has been after they benched Ronaldo. And I've been saying since last year, they didn't buy Ronaldo for the right reasons. They only bought him because he was going to go to City otherwise. It was the wrong reason to buy him. He didn't fit at the time. He got 20 goals, sure, but he didn't contribute much else. And now they're doing so well and he's been kept on the bench. I told you so, man.
I feel like a reason why he's been kept on the bench has been, like, the debacle with him wanting to transfer out, him throwing a tantrum that, you know, United weren't winning and that he didn't want to play the Europa League. So I think there were good reasons to keep him benched this season, but I would still disagree that I thought he was one of our very few bright spots last season, if I'm being honest. I mean, 20 goals, 20 goals, right? You can't really argue with that.
I mean, individually, yeah, he's a bright spot, but I don't think he does that much for the team. I think you're much better served as a team playing Rashford as your striker, or, you know, Martial when he's available, much better served playing him as the striker as opposed to just Ronaldo through the middle.
I mean, I'll agree to disagree, and, you know, If we keep Ronaldo benched, then we do well this season. Although I doubt we'll be able to keep Ronaldo benched for an entire season.
Yeah.
How happening is my work, you know? Anything for the success of the team, right?
I think especially if the results turn and you guys start losing, then everyone's going to get really mad because they're going to be like, why don't you play Ronaldo? Why don't you just play him? He's sitting there. He's so good. But I think that might just make things worse. I think he needs to be benched for the way this team is working, the way they play. I also want to highlight an interesting trend, which is that you guys are basically going out and buying all the players from Real Madrid's glory Champions League run after their prime. Varane, Ronaldo, Casemiro.
You're also buying the entire Ajax Academy, so...
pretty much. Yeah. So I'm not sure how well that's going to work out, because Casemiro is what? How old? He's in his 30s now, and he's got, what, a four-year deal from you guys? And he relies a lot on physicality.
Again, fingers crossed, but you know.
Yeah.
As a United fan, I've been burned one too many times.
I'm sure.
Speaking of teams that aren't doing fantastically right now,
mm-hmm.
Liverpool, surprisingly, are not doing well, right? I know they sold Mane, but I didn't expect them to be doing this poorly.
No, I don't think it's only down to selling Mane, because Luis Diaz is pretty good. Darwin Nunez has been okay apart from the whole... They've been pretty decent, like, you know, apart from the whole pushing people and getting carded incident. Not bad.
But I feel with Nunez, he still needs some time to integrate into the team. I don't think he's, like, fully there yet.
Yeah.
It's the same with a lot of Liverpool signings. Like, if you take a look at Fabinho, he also took some time to, like, fully integrate into the team. But when he did integrate, God, that was scary of him. So, yeah, I do think it will probably take some time, but I expect Liverpool to hit scary hours again soon. If I was a Liverpool fan, I wouldn't be too worried about Liverpool's performance.
Yeah, I think also for Klopp and Guardiola, even for Guardiola players at City, anyone transfers there, the first year you just kind of write them off. They're settling in, figuring things out. So I think it's the same for Klopp as well. They're settling in, they're figuring things out. And then I think about 6 months in, you're right, they'll be pretty good. They'll be back to their best. But I think what is concerning is that Van Dijk has been giving away penalties, been dribbled past, doing all sorts of things. I think that's a bit of a concern, because if you're so impervious in defense and then, you know, you start making mistakes, your confidence can really take a hit. And that matters a lot, I think, when you're playing. So I think his aura of invincibility has been slightly shaken and slightly broken. And I think it's going to reveal how he reacts to this, how he deals with this, is going to reveal a lot about his mentality and whether he's as, you know, as elite as we've been saying he is for the past few years.
That'll probably be interesting to watch. So given all that, right, having gone through like most, if not all of the contenders, who do you think is going to win the league based on early projections, of course?
I think City. There's no question. The only one who can compete with them, maybe based on the initial start, is probably Arsenal. I mean, if you look at the table, Tottenham's the same number of points as City, and I would never count out an Antonio Conte team. Like, I would not count them out. They're pretty good. He's got a way with players. He's very passionate. He's very good with them. Defense first, you know, keeping the clean sheets. He's good with it. We saw it at Chelsea as well. But I think City are just too good. They're just way too good. And Haaland is a cheat code. He's a FIFA player. He's real-life FIFA player.
I think a big reason for that as well. I picked City as well. But
yeah,
I think a huge reason for that is that City have unparalleled squad depth. Like, that's something they have over basically the rest of the league. Like, I mean, like, certain teams can say that, oh, yes, oh, we have Salah, you know, we have Son. But nobody has as strong a team, not just in their starting lineup, but on the bench, right? Take a look at how many good impact subs they have.
Right? Yeah.
As City. And also, they just signed Haaland, so... You know, happy days for all non-City fans, I guess.
But there is one thing to consider, I think, this year, which is the World Cup's in the middle of the season.
Oh, yes.
So if someone gets... That. Yeah, same, 100%. But if someone gets injured, that could really change the complexion of everything, you know? Like, if there's another Neymar-type injury from, you know, 2014, that could really shake things up and change things. Because if, you know, what if a team loses a couple of players to injuries or niggles or something, then who knows what's going to happen, you know?
Yeah, that's totally true. Okay, let's move away from the EPL for a minute. You know, let's talk about the NBA because, well, the EPL has started. Where we're recording this, it's six games in. The NBA mm-hmm. season has yet to start. It's going to start very, very soon. And I think most of the big off-season trades are in. So let's discuss some of the really big off-season movements that took place or movements that didn't take place in the case of a certain snake.
Yes.
So first, I think the most interesting team to talk about in terms of players they've traded away is the Jazz, right?
Yes.
So how do you feel about the Jazz duo being broken up and then individually shipped off? Let's start with, of course, the more exciting one, Donovan Mitchell and at the Cavs now. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's pretty good. I think it's a good trade for the Cavs, at least. I think, what did Utah get back? They got like 3 first-rounders and 2 pick swaps. So I'm not sure how valuable those first-rounders are going to be, because Cleveland is going to be at least a play-in team next year. At least, I think. They're maybe a 5 or 6 seed, I think.
My home
So
team
I'm
is
not
going to
sure.
be a top 4 seed.
Okay, let's go through the East then. Let's do that for a second. There's Brooklyn. Okay, I think they're still going to be in it
I don't think
despite
Brooklyn are going
whatever.
to be a top 3 seed. I'll be perfectly honest. Like, Brooklyn on paper have the talent to be a top 3 seed, but their locker room is always too dysfunctional for them to be a top 3 seed. I think they'll be like 5 or 6 again.
I think they can pull it together certainly, and I think they can be better than the Cavs. I'm talking about teams that have potential to be better
Okay,
than them. I
fair.
think Brooklyn are there. And also, you know, who knows, Kyrie might start believing the earth is round or something. You know, you never know with the guy. So anything's possible there. Okay, so there's Brooklyn, Boston, and Milwaukee. First, those top three, I
For
think.
sure.
Miami.
Okay.
This runs through. Who else was there?
I don't think there's anyone else. I don't think the Hawks are better. I don't think the Raps are better. I don't
The
think
Hawks
Sixers
could
are
be
better.
good. Hawks could be good with DeJounte Murray. Could make a
Yeah,
big
that's
difference.
true. They did make a big off-season push for DeJounte, and now they have on paper what looks like a really good backcourt pairing with Trey, but at the same time, DeJounte and Trey are both very ball dominant guards, and I think it'll take some time, especially for Trey, to play in a more off-ball role, because the Hawks front office basically want him to be Stephen Nash. I think it's gonna take some time for them to get used to playing with each other. I think it's gonna work out, of course, but I think it'll take some time. And Donovan Mitchell is more of a seamless fit in the Cavs. Donovan Mitchell's biggest weakness is that he's terrible at defense, and he went from a team with Rudy Gobert to a team with Evan Mobley and Jared Allen.
Evan Mobley.
So I think he's gonna be fine.
He's gonna be fine. He's gonna be fine. What about
Also,
76ers? 76ers could be good. I think they're another, you know, their top five seed, I think.
fair, but I don't know. I feel like four fringe all-stars probably means you're a top 4 seed in the East. Probably.
I really don't know. East is actually really good. They're really, really good. So it could be anyone's thing. Because 76ers, depending on how fit Harden is, how motivated he is. I mean, we've heard he took
Looks
a pay
skinny now,
cut, which
though.
is a big deal. Sorry?
He looks skinny now, though.
Yeah, he looks pretty skinny now. But he took a pay cut, which I think is a big sign of intent on his part that he's willing to make this work and do stuff and be the number two guy for Embiid.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, and now for the other member of the Jazz duo, Rudy Gobert. Five first round picks. Okay, not exactly five. Three first and two pick swaps for Rudy Gobert. And they gave up a lot of good role players as well. Like, the Cavs only gave up Colin Sexton and Lauri Markkanen, and the guy they drafted this year. So they didn't really give up anyone from their young core, but Timberwolves gave up so much. They gave up Pat Bev. They gave up Jared Vanderbilt. They gave up quite a lot of key veteran and like just decent role players. And then they gave up five first round picks. So how do you like that move?
Honestly, I would have liked it more if they got rid of D'Angelo Russell and kept a couple of those guys. I think it might have been better for them. But see, here's the thing. I don't think giving up that many picks is as bad. And let me tell you why. Gobert is great for your team in the regular season. We've already proven it, right? Which means with Gobert now, with Cat Gobert and Anthony Edwards, if he continues to develop, which there's no reason he shouldn't, they're a playoff team. They're a legit playoff team, not a play-in team. They're a playoff team, right? So you're giving up late first rounders, which are not that useful.
The West seems pretty stacked, though. When everybody's healthy, at the very least. Warriors, the Clippers, the Nuggets, the Grizzlies, the Suns. The West is pretty stacked. And yes, Gobert is a fantastic regular season player, you know. He's probably gonna drag them into the playoffs, but I don't see them being higher than like a 5 seed.
So here's the thing, I'm not as high on the Suns this year. I don't think they're going to be that good. I think Chris Paul is getting old. He is pretty old.
Okay,
I
even then,
mean,
would you take a healthy Nuggets team or would you take a healthy, fully healthy Timberwolves team? I would take a healthy Nuggets.
it depends on how Michael Porter MPJ is going to be, right? Now that
And
he's
Jamal
had a
Murray
pretty bad.
fell. But
Yeah,
they're
exactly.
both projected to come back this season. So for
Yeah, but
this.
I mean that. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it depends on how they are after the injury because it's pretty bad. They were out for a long, long time. And again, Clippers, you can never know with Kawhi, like whether he's going to play or not. You just don't know.
That's true. Paul George.
And we're not even talking about the Lakers. We're not even counting them in this because realistically, I think they're a 10 seed maybe or a 9 seed. I don't think they're better than that.
Poor
Like,
LeBron, though.
I don't think they're better than that. I really don't think. I think there's
Poor
no
LeBron.
way it works out for them. Nobody wants Russell Westbrook. Nobody's going to take him. They're not going to be able to trade him. I think having Pat Bev with them is going to make it even worse. And especially after he came out and said, they're playing with me this year because I made the playoffs. last year. Of course, he's playing MVP, as we
Fred
know.
Bev is like one of the biggest menaces to society, the NBA. He's such a
He has
dog.
got
His
that
name
dog.
is Russell Westbrook, who he tore the ACL off, if I'm not wrong, by charging into his leg. Like he broke Russell Westbrook's Iron Man streak when he was at OKC. Like they've had beef ever since, and they're playing together now. So, you know.
Pat Bev has that dog in him, though. You know, the stats can't measure what he's got. They just
That's
can't.
true. That's true. First team all dog.
Exactly. We should actually do that sometime. Make an all dog team, you know. I
Yeah.
think I definitely have Pat Bev and Jimmy Butler on that for sure. They'd be my starting two.
Let me think of anyone else who would be on that list.
Draymond Green.
Yeah, okay, Dre. Speaking of Draymond Green, actually,
Oh my
how have
God,
you
yeah.
felt about the Warriors offseason? They've not lost any of their like championship pieces, but they've lost
Yeah.
quite a lot of key rotational guys. Gary Payton, Otto Porter Jr.
Yeah.
Although they did get DiVincenzo, I think.
Yeah,
So
they got DiVincenzo. Yeah,
yeah.
yeah, yeah.
So do you think that's gonna affect the fact that Draymond said, next 3 out of 4 NBA titles are the
Hey,
Warriors?
I love the Warriors. As you know, I picked them to win. I picked them in the finals. I really wanted them to win. But I think Draymond, like, somebody needs to put him in this place, honestly. It's getting a bit much. It's really getting a bit much. And then the kind of rhetoric that they have, where they're kind of saying, where apparently Steph started, he came out and he said that because he was having a hard time shooting threes or in general with his shooting in the finals, Steph decided to taunt the Boston Celtics fans even more so they would focus on him and not Draymond. That is ridiculous. No one's thinking that much in a finals game. No one's going like, oh my God, I have to take the pressure off Draymond, so I am going to taunt them extra. That's just him saying stuff generally. It's complete nonsense. But I think losing GP2 and Otto Porter Jr. is a big blow. I think especially GP2, because we saw what he could do, how useful that kind of a player is in the playoffs, that he's like a spark plug. You can bring him and shut down the opposing team's best player. He can guard every position except the five and the four, maybe 1 through 3, he can guard them quite easily. He's insanely athletic. He gets the crowd going as well with his dunks. He's fast. He's a
He's
hustle player.
also sneaky. He's really, really, really efficient finishing at the rim.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, 100%. And he's fearless, I mean, as well. I really like that about him. He plays like he's got nothing to lose, which I think is a rare attribute to have. So I think it's going to be hard losing him. But I think the Warriors organization, I think they're like a force multiplier. Any player that comes to them, if they fit in, they make him 10 times better than he is.
So, do you think the Warriors are going to run it back this year? Would you pick them to run it back?
I would not pick them running
Who
back.
would you pick to, who would you pick them to come off the West?
Oh, let's see. I think Dallas could. Dallas could.
I think Dallas have had a sneaky offseason, like a sneaky really good offseason. Like
Yeah.
they hadn't been talked about much because, of course, they lost Jalen Brunson, but
Yeah.
the Knicks overpaid for Jalen Brunson anyways. So
100%.
that was probably smart on their part. But they've only really made one big move. But I think that move was really, really, really good. Like acquiring Christian Wood, who's like, if you take a look, can be a fringe all-star player.
Yeah.
Or basically nothing. Like they gave up Boban. Oh no. But besides, Boban, and I think like a first or second round pick, like only one,
Yeah.
they managed to acquire Christian Wood. And Christian Wood is like, other than Kristaps Porzingis, who is like never healthy, is probably like a perfect pick and roll partner for Luka.
I think he's good. I was going to say the Mavs definitely are in contention to come up. Also, because playoff Luka is a different animal. He's just unstoppable. You can't do
And
anything against him.
he's made
And he's.
four NBA first teams in like his
Yeah.
first 5 seasons. It's ridiculous.
Exactly. And he's been going off at Eurobasket as well. He's been absolutely going off. I think him. Rather the Mavs, not him. The Mavs or the Grizzlies, I think. I think they come back. I think they've got a lot of spunk in them. I think the loss to the Warriors really stings.
I'm
It
excited
really
for
stings
Christmas
them.
Day. I'm excited
Yeah,
for Christmas Day.
exactly.
Christmas Day, for all of you guys who don't know, Christmas Day is gonna have the Warriors are not gonna host the Celtics. They are instead gonna host the Grizzlies, which will be fun. There's quite a lot of competition between like them. And like the Grizzlies are like the up and coming, young team, I
Exactly.
guess. And somehow these Warriors have turned into the long-standing dynastic like villains of the West at least. So
Honestly, the vibe it kind of gives me is like the Warriors going up against the Clippers in 2013, where they were good, but it was a real welcome to the league moment for Steph against Chris Paul, you know? So
yeah.
I think this was a welcome to the league moment for Memphis, saying that, okay, you want to win the West, you want to go win a championship, you're going to have to go through guys like this.
It's Michael Jordan against the Pistons, basically.
Yeah,
It's
basically, exactly.
that kind of competition. And I'm really
That
excited.
kind of thing.
Who do you
Yeah.
think comes out of the East then?
In the East, that's a tricky one, actually.
Okay, my money is
Yeah.
Boston or Milwaukee. It's either
I
one
was
of them.
gonna say, I was gonna say
Boston or
Milwaukee.
Milwaukee.
I
Like
was gonna say Milwaukee.
Boston, another team which haven't really made that many like really big moves. Like nothing that would be like, oh, you know, they've gone up one more level. But the thing is,
Yeah.
Boston are so close to championship caliber already. And acquiring Malcolm Brogdon and I was gonna say Gallinari, but Gallinari's injured now. Like true point guards to play backup minutes for Marcus Smart is
Yeah.
such a big thing in their championship rotation. And they
It is, it
basically
is.
lost nobody. So I think Boston are pretty scary this year.
I think they're good, but their ceiling depends on how good Jason Tatum is. It
That's
does. It
true.
really does. Because he's their most productive scoring player.
That's
You know,
true.
in a 7-game series, you need Jason Tatum to fire 3 out of the 4 games to win. Brown can get 1 game, Smart can get half a game maybe. But you need Jason Tatum to fire offensively. Defensively, it's not a question. He's good. He's really
That's
good.
totally fair. But I think one of the benefits of the Boston system is that Jason Tatum doesn't need to fire at the same rate, for example, that Steph Curry would need to in the Warriors system. Because
Definitely.
the Boston defense is so cohesive. It's just so well built, right? The ability for any Boston player to switch on to basically anyone else. I've been talking about this like since the
Yeah.
playoffs last year. Like I'm really impressed by what Ime Udoka has done at Boston. It's really, really, really impressive.
No, I think it's really good. I think defensively they're very, very good. But I mean, the fact is that you can't stop Steph Curry. And if you want to win the ring, you've got to go through players like Steph Curry. You've got to go through Giannis. You know, I still think Bucks would have won that series if Chris Middleton hadn't been injured. They just needed an alternative source of scoring. And if Chris Middleton hadn't been injured, they would have got it done.
I could see that last year, yes, definitely, right? With a healthy Bucks team could have probably beaten that Boston game in the 7-game series. But
Definitely.
this current Boston rotation against a healthy Bucks team, especially considering the Bucks haven't made any real big postseason moves, in a 7-game series, this current Boston roster versus the Bucks roster, I could see it going either way. But I think those
See,
two teams are cut above everybody else in the East.
I think when you have a guy like Giannis and or a Steph Curry, you can't bet against them. And the fact is that they are guys who show up at the biggest moment. Like when you need him to, Giannis will deliver a 50-point game and you can't do anything to stop him. You just can't. When you
That's
need him
fair.
to, he'll make all his free throws.
That's fair. But the Boston against Giannis ostensibly last year showed that you don't need to stop Giannis. You just need to slow him down to the point where the Bucks machine doesn't run at full capacity. And if you play well, the Bucks are beatable. It's not like the Bucks are unbeatable.
Yeah, definitely, definitely, definitely. I don't think it's so dominant like a few years ago where any team is unbeatable. I think every team can be beaten for sure. There's nobody
Speaking
who can't be beaten.
of super teams, how have you felt about what has been going down in Brooklyn?
Ooh.
KD requesting a trade and then rescinding his trade requests. All the months I wasted on Reddit trying to keep up with NBA trade rumors, only for nothing to come of it.
I really don't know what's gonna happen. Like I think okay, my theory is that a KD trade would have happened, but they can't, none of the pieces work, right? Because of the rookie contract thing, the rookie max extension rule, right? You can't have more than two guys on a team who you didn't draft. Sorry, you can only have two rookie max extensions on your team, and one of them has to be a guy that you drafted. And they already have Ben Simmons on the Nets, who's a rookie max extension. So they can't get anyone else. They couldn't have taken, you know, Donovan Mitchell or anyone else for it. That's why those trades fell apart. So I think a trade would have happened. It's just that logistically, they couldn't get around this rule.
I think another reason that helped stifle the trade is that Rudy Gobert got traded like days before KD gave his put in his trade request. And the fact that the Timberwolves gave up so much for Rudy Gobert basically meant that maybe if previously the Brooklyn Nets were looking for. Let's talk about four for first round picks. Suddenly, if Rudy Gobert is worth five first round picks and a bunch of really good role players, what's KD? Yeah. Six, seven, eight?
Yeah, so exactly.
I think Rudy Gobert kind of spoiled the market a little bit. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I think he did. I think he did, definitely. I remember my first reaction when I saw it was four picks for him. Like, that's a lot. That's a crazy amount of picks. And there's a pick swap as well. Let's not forget that. Yeah. But then again, like I said, he's such a good regular season player. They're at least a play-in team, which means their pick's going to be like after 20th, which doesn't matter. Like, I'm cool with giving up those because you raise your base, you raise your floor. But, and who knows what your ceiling is then. Your ceiling kind of depends on how he fits in, how Anthony Edwards develops, whether Cat, you know, becomes more. I think it'll
be interesting to see how Cat and Rudy Gobert play because they have some really complementary games in terms of like Cat's offensive game, three-point shooting, Rudy Gobert's fantastic defensive game. But at the same time, there's also going to be, I won't say it's exactly a spacing issue, but it's a spacing thing that they'll need to sort out in terms of the fact that when Cat is not shooting three-pointers, he likes to drive into the paint. And, you know, Rudy Gobert is always there because Rudy Gobert can only finish at the paint.
Well, I saw a clip from Eurobasket where Rudy Gobert went up in the post against Dennis Schroeder and he couldn't post him up. He just couldn't. So he hasn't got...
Rudy is he can't dribble the ball.
Yeah, he can't. He can't dribble the ball.
That's it. If he could dribble the ball or he had like any semblance of a jump shot, I easily think he'd be a top 10 player in the league. But he can't do either. He's like defensively almost perfect, but he can't do anything offensive.
He's the NBA equivalent of Stanley dribbling the basketball in the office. That's what he is. He's the NBA version of that. You know, he just can't do it. But no, I think it's going to be interesting. I think they're going to, it's interesting to me as well that when everyone's looking at spacing and bigs have to shoot, like Embiid's 3-point percentage has been great this season, you know. And Jokic can hit threes as well. All the good bigs in the league can hit threes and all teams are always looking for more spacing. But these guys are kind of going against the trend and they're kind of like, no, we're gonna go like Twin Towers, essentially.
True, but it's like Twin Towers with a twist because, you know, Cat is a new age big man, basically.
He is.
Almost the quintessential offensive new age big man. You know, he can't play at all, but if you want a big man to shoot threes, it's basically him or maybe like Dirk.
Yeah, pretty much.
Before we conclude today's episode, let's just give our picks on our predictions on who we've talked about, who comes out the West, who comes out the East. Who do you think wins it this year? If you have to give a prediction right now, at the start, before the season even starts.
Ooh, okay. Can I give three? Because there's so many contenders. I feel like one's better.
But you have to rank them. Sure.
Okay, rank them. Okay. I think my number one team to win is Milwaukee. I think so. I was high on them last year as well. I thought that they could go. I think they would have definitely made the Eastern Finals, at least if Middleton, you know, had been around. Then who knows after that. So I think Milwaukee for sure. They're my number one pick. I'm going to go a little off the beaten track for this one. Number two, I'm going to pick Memphis. I think they'll get there. I think they've got a nice young team that's ready, that thinks it's their time now. And number three, Mavs, because Lucas might pull a Dirk. I think he might just do it. He's been really, really good. He's made the Western Conference Finals. He was so good.
Okay. Those are some pretty interesting picks.
Yeah.
I think probably Milwaukee at one as well. Simply because between like Milwaukee and Boston, I think whoever wins that game again, because I think it's going to happen again, whoever wins that game is probably going to win the NBA
Finals. I think it'll happen in the Eastern Conference Finals. I think it'll happen. That's the conference finals game. If the brackets work out.
Yes. And I think if the Bucks win that game, they have a way higher chance of winning the finals as compared to the Celtics because Giannis.
Yes.
So I'll say the Bucks at one. I'll say the Celtics at two. I'm pretty high on them as well. I think they have a good chance of making it. And I'd say at three, I'd probably go for the Grizzlies as well. I think the Grizzlies are rapidly developing. And this season might be the breakout season for not just Ja, because I think Ja has already broken out. Unless he goes one step higher and becomes like a MVP level player. Although I think he was already pretty close at some points last season. But I think this is the year of like Jaren Jackson Jr. and Desmond Bane. And when those guys break out, the Grizzlies are going to be a scary team. So that's my hot take. My dark horse contender is like, I think the Grizz have a chance of getting it out in the West. I think that concludes our episode today. We've covered all our EPL and NBA stuff. So I hope you guys have enjoyed listening to this episode, and we'll see you in the next one.
Bye.